the call of Elisha. The call of Elisha. And I want you to go with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to start with verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. Verse 19 says, "So Elijah departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then Elijah arose, and he went after Elijah, and ministered unto him." In our story here that we read, the prophet Elijah's time on earth is very short. Elijah has been a very faithful servant to the Lord, and now the Lord is going to take him. So he tells Elijah to anoint Elisha to take his place as his prophet in Israel. Elisha is going to be the one who is going to continue to be the Lord's voice of truth and to continue to work the miracles that truly reflect the heart of God. So Elijah obeys the Lord and he comes and he calls Elisha into the service of the Lord. And my question is that I want to ask is, what was it about Elisha that God saw that he would place such a high calling on his life? What was it about Elisha that the Lord saw that he would call him to continue on to carry the torch, to be the voice of truth, and to manifest the heart of God to the nation of Israel? What is it that God saw about Elisha that he would call him into this service? And brothers and sisters, the very first answer we can give is the obvious one. It's because the Lord was looking into Elisha's heart, and he saw a man that truly loved God and had a sincerity in his heart to honor the Lord. And brothers and sisters, this is always the criteria of the call of God. If God calls us into his service, whatever service that may be, it's because God is looking into our heart and he sees something in our heart. He sees a love for him deep in our heart, and he sees a desire in us to honor him above everything else, to honor the Lord. What I want us to understand is when God calls us, he doesn't call us because of our giftings and our abilities. He uses our giftings and our abilities and our talents, but that is not what determines the call of God. Our giftings and our abilities do not determine the call of God. What determines the call of God is that God is looking in the heart, and he sees a heart that is after him. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "The Lord seeth not as man sees, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." When the Lord calls us, it's because he sees a heart that truly loves him, a sincere love, and a desire to honor and serve him. But there's something else I want us to see here, why the Lord called this man Elisha. I want you to look with me at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "So Elijah departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. So we see right here that Elisha is plowing. So in other words, Elisha is a farmer. He's a farmer. Now, brothers and sisters, if you know anything about farming, farming requires hard work. Farming requires diligence. So what the Lord sees in this man is a hard worker. What the Lord sees in this man is a heart of diligence. You see, a farmer depends upon their crops, and a farmer depends upon their livestock for their livelihood. So they know the value of being diligent. They know the cost of not being diligent. They know the cost of not using your time wisely. A farmer knows that above everyone else. So Elisha was a man who knew what slothfulness, what not having a life of diligence would cost him as a farmer. And he lived that life. Proverbs 24, verse 30 and 31 says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was grown over with thorns, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Not having a heart of diligence, having a slothful heart, it has consequences. Elisha, being a farmer, was a diligent man. Now, my point is simply this. In the times that Elisha was living in, the Lord had to have a man that was diligent. The times required it. If you know the times Elijah was living in, then you know the nation of Israel was plagued by idolatrous kings. You know their enemies were pressing in all around them. You know there was famine and sword. You know that false prophets were feeding lies to the people. The call of God demanded a man of diligence, and that's who God called. And when you look at Elisha, you see his whole life and ministry was marked by diligence. He was a man that was diligent to seek the Lord. He was diligent in his prayer life. He was a man who was diligent in his obedience. He was a man that was diligent to fulfill the call of God upon his life. He was a diligent man. So Elijah comes to Elisha and he places upon him the mantle upon Elisha. And the placing of the mantle upon Elisha was a statement. Elijah was saying to Elisha, Elisha, God's calling you into a service. And when you look at the story, when Elijah put the mantle upon Elisha, a knowing came into Elisha's heart. Elisha knew that God was calling him for such a time that he was living in. There was something that came into his heart that would said, God is calling me. And when God called Elisha, and he realized the call of God upon his life, Elisha does two things. First of all, he goes home and he tells his parents. That's what the Bible says he does. He goes home and he tells his parents, two people that it's very obvious in the story he loves very much. He loves them very deeply in his heart. And he goes to his parents and he says, Mom and Dad, God has called me. God has come to my heart. He's placed the call of God upon my heart. I have heard his calling. He has raised me up for such a time as this. And I must answer the call of God. And what this speaks to me of is his willingness to make great sacrifices for the call of God. His willingness to tell the two people he loved with all of his heart, I love you with all of my heart, but I must leave this place. I must leave home. I must leave my family. Because the times that we're living in are very critical times, and God has called me to be the vessel that he wants to work through. And secondly, Elisha burns his plows and he kills his oxen. In other words, Elisha is making a declaration. He is saying, I have resolved in my heart that I am never turning back from the call of God because I have nothing to go back to. I'm slaying my oxen and I'm burning my plows because in my heart, I'm going to keep going forward with God. I've made that declaration in my heart. Doesn't matter how hard times get. Doesn't matter how difficult time become. It doesn't matter the loneliness that comes sometimes with going and walking in the call of God. I've determined in my heart that God's grace is sufficient for me. God's tender mercies will be upon my life and he will walk with me and see me through everything I'm going through. I am not going back from the call of God. I'm going forward until God decides to take me home. I'm going forward. Elisha knew because of the times he was living in, anything less than full surrender would not suffice. Elisha knew because of the critical times he was living in, anything less than wholeheartedly giving yourself to the Lord would not suffice. With Elisha, it's all or nothing. The times he was living in, nothing else would do, but absolute whole sold outness to God. If God was going to use him in the capacity he wanted him to. And the Lord puts Elisha to the test. Because shortly after Elijah calls him, Elijah begins to take Elisha on a journey. I want you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Look with me at verse 1. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. So we see in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Elijah begins to take Elisha on a spiritual journey. That's what this is. See, what's happening here, God is putting Elisha to the test. God is wanting to know. He's wanting to reveal the content of his heart. He's searching the heart. He wants to know, Elisha, just how far are you willing to go with me? How far are you willing to go with God? You see, these three places that Elijah takes Elisha, they're very spiritual places. They have very spiritual significance. And ultimately, what God is saying is, will you go all the way with me, Elisha? If I'm going to use you in the capacity that I want to use you and give you what you need, the life that you need to fulfill your calling, will you go all the way with me? And in each place, Elijah tries to discourage Elisha. He says, I'm now going to Bethel. Stay behind. I'm now going to Jericho. Stay behind. He's giving him the opportunity, but Elisha says, I will not be discouraged. I'm going all the way with you. So the first place, Elijah says to Elisha, I'm going to Bethel. Now, Bethel means the house of God. It's the place of worship is what Bethel is. And there are many that are willing to follow the Lord to his house. There are many that are willing to follow the Lord to the place where we come in and we lift our hands and we sing our songs. There are many that are willing to go with him to the sanctuary and hear the preacher's sermons, but yet they have no desire to go beyond Bethel. We will go to the house of God. We will hear the sermons. We will lift our hands and we will sing our songs. But to that place of absolute self-denial and surrender, I will not go. Many will go to Bethel, but that's where they stop. But then when they get to Bethel, Elijah looks at Elisha and he says, I'm going now to Jericho. Tarry ye behind. Stay behind. And Elisha says, I will not stay in this place. I will go beyond Bethel. There's so much more than just being a church goer. I want more than that. I want a life with God. I want his life richly in me. I want to be used by God. I want to go beyond Bethel. So they go to Jericho. Now, Jericho, to me, it represents the victory of the cross. See, with the great shout, the walls of Jericho fell down. And with a great shout, the Bible says that Jesus lifted up his face from the cross and he said, it is finished. And the temple veil was rent and everything that could hinder man from and separate man from God was moved out of the way. Man has now clear access to God. It speaks about the testimony of the cross. And for many, their whole focus, their whole testimony, this is their whole focus and testimony. We fervently boast in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And we should. Our testimony needs to be the cross and what he's done for us on the cross. Wiping our sins away. But when it comes to the cross, this is where so many stop. They do not want to go any further than boasting in the cross. That's where they stop. Don't want to go any further than that. But then when they're in Jericho, the testimony of the cross, Elijah looks at Elisha and he says, I'm going to Jericho, tarry behind. And Elisha said, I'm not going to be discouraged. It's all or nothing for me. I'm going all the way with God. I want everything that he has. So he follows him to the Jordan. Now, brothers and sisters, the Jordan means to descend. It means to go down. In other words, what it speaks of is embracing that life of self-denial. It means in sincerity of heart, not with your mouth. Everybody confesses it. Everybody confesses, I've taken up my cross. But brothers and sisters, it means sincerely in your heart, making that altar and saying, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. God, all my desires, all my dreams, all my agendas, all my pursuits, by the grace of God, I lay them aside. I lay aside that pathway of self because I know you have a will for my life. And God, I may not know what it is, but God, I know you have one. And Lord, I seek your face. I seek your will. God, I ask you to unfold your plan for my life. And God, when you unfold your plan for my life, by the grace of God, I set everything else aside and I walk that path you set before me. The Jordan represents in your heart sincerely embracing the cross, saying, God, with all my heart, I want your will for my life. And whatever that may be, however that may unfold, God, I'm going to walk in it. That's what the Jordan represents. Not just in confession, in heart and in prayer. Saying, God, what is your will for my life? Whatever sacrifices, you are worthy of the sacrifices. Whatever you tell me to put on the altar, whatever dreams, whatever aspirations, whatever ambitions, God, you are worthy of it, going to the altar and dying so that you can live your plan through my life. That's the Jordan. Very few go there. Very few. But that's where the life of God is at. It's where the joy, the fulfillment, the power of God is at. Show me your will and I will embrace it. And by your grace I will walk in it. And I want to say right here that this is where the life, this is where the joy, this is where the power and the strength of God is at. I want to remind us again that Jesus went into the Jordan River to be baptized. And Jesus was making a statement in his baptism. Going down into the Jordan, what Jesus was saying is, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of my Father. Of my own self, I do nothing, but what I hear my Father speak and say, everything that he says is what I do. I live only for the will of God. Remember, John the Baptist said to Jesus, he saw Jesus and he said, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, we need to do this. We need to do this so that all righteousness may be fulfilled. And what Jesus is saying is, I have to embrace this life of self-denial so the righteous pleasures of my Father can be done in my life. That's what Jesus was saying when he was baptized. But when he came out of those Jordan waters, the Bible says there was an open heaven. The Spirit of God came upon him and he heard a voice out of heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Brothers and sisters, for those that truly have embraced that life of self-denial and have embraced the will of God for their life, they know the pleasure of God in their life. They know the joy of God in their life. They don't walk in the condemnation. They don't walk under the heaviness. They don't walk under that yoke of living for self, because that's what the self life does. But there's a freedom and a liberty in their heart. And whatever accusers comes against them and whatever false accusers comes against them, they look up to their Father and say, God, I know I'm pleasing to you because your pleasure is alive in my heart. Jesus was the most accused man on the face of the earth. But he knew his Father was pleased with him because he had embraced that life that God set before him. And he was anointed. The very life of God came upon him and filled him. Those that have that kind of walk, they know the life of God. They know the strength of God. They know the power of God. But here is the sad misfortune. This place of Jordan, this place of self-sacrifice, this place of self-denial is a place where very few believers will follow the Lord. Because we just don't want to die. Look with me at verse 6 and 7. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by the Jordan. So it said the sons of the prophets, 50 men of the sons of the prophets, they stood afar off and watched as Elijah and Elijah went to the Jordan. And brothers and sisters, this is where I have to say most of the churches today. Viewing afar off. Viewing afar off because in our heart we just don't want to walk across that Jordan floor. In our heart, we just do not want to embrace that life of self-denial. In our heart, we don't want to lay down our pursuits and our ambitions and our dreams and seek out God's plan for our life. This is where many of them are at, viewing afar off. And this is why the church prays so much and sees so little results. This is the very reason why the church prays so much and sees so little results. Because we're not willing to walk across that Jordan floor and die. This is why we sing about the cross. And we preach sermons about the cross. And we give testimonies about the cross. But we see very little life of the cross because we will not pick up the cross in our heart. We say it with our mouths, but to pick it up in our heart and walk with it is another thing. To fully surrender, to lay everything aside and say, God, what is your will for my life over everything else? That's another thing. And that's why we see so little life. But brothers and sisters, like Elisha, in my heart, and I know many of your hearts, you want everything that God has. You want the life that God has. Not just His will, but the life that fills His will. We want that with all of our hearts. I do not want to be standing afar off watching somebody else pay the price. I don't. I want to be in that company. I don't want to come to the end of my life, maybe build a big ministry, but in my heart knowing I did not produce anything. But watching those who have paid the price and seeing the life. By your grace, Lord, I can be a man. You can be a woman that walks with God. Nothing more satisfying than that. But see, here's the wonderful news. I told you the misfortunate news. So very few that will really make that altar in their heart. But here's the wonderful news. Look with me at chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah asked and said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So after they passed over the Jordan, Elijah looks at Elisha, and basically what he's saying is, Elisha, tell me what is in your heart. What is it that you want? Now, this is what I want you to understand. Elijah did not ask him this when they went through Bethel. Elijah did not ask him this question when they went through Jericho. It was only after they crossed that Jordan floor that Elijah looked at this man face to face and say, tell me what is in your heart. And brothers and sisters, it's when we embrace that, make that altar in our heart and say, I'm going all the way with God. Whatever His will is for me, that is my focus. That is my attention. Every other distraction aside, I want God's will for my life. That is when we have an open heaven over our heart and you begin to hear God say, I want to answer your prayers. Tell me what is in your heart. And the reason why He speaks to us so intently when we've embraced that cross is because now He knows whatever we pray for, it is not coming out of the self-life. It may look spiritual, but we can make our own motives, our own selfish motives look spiritual. But when you've embraced that cross and you're walking across that Jordan floor and the only thing that's upon your heart is Christ and His will, you will hear the Lord say, I want to answer many of your prayers. What is on your heart? Because I know it comes out of one thing, to see my kingdom come on earth as is in heaven. That's what possesses your heart. Pray to me. The Bible says if we ask anything according to His will be done. That does not mean pray in the right words. God save the lost. God heal the sick. It means more than that. Praying God's will means more than praying the right words. It means having the heart of God when you pray the right words. God, I want to see you honored. Above everything else, in all truth, I want to see you glorified. God, I have prayers that you have put in my heart. God says, I'm ready to answer those prayers because it's not coming out of self-life. It's coming out of a life that has sincerely embraced my cross. Look with me at verse 9 through 13. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. So let's just stop there. So he walks across the Jordan floor with Elijah, and Elijah looks at Elisha and he says, okay, Elisha, now tell me what is really in your heart. And Elisha says, Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. And I think that was a very humble request from Elisha. I think what he was saying is this: Elijah, you're twice the man that I am. And if I'm going to continue to carry your torch, I need a double portion of your spirit. And then Elijah answers him and says this: you have asked a hard thing. In other words, he's saying, Elisha, this cannot come from the strength of man. Man has absolutely no strength that can give this to you. If you're going to receive this, it has to come from the Lord. It has to come from His divine power if you're going to have this. But what we see is that when Elijah was taken away, we see that Elijah's prayer was answered. Because the mantle fell and he picked up the mantle, and the mantle represents, I've heard your prayer, I've answered your prayer. And this is the testimony that I've answered your prayer. The mantle just being the testimony. But brothers and sisters, this is what I want you to understand. The reason why the Lord gave this to Elisha is because the Lord wanted Elisha to have it. Brothers and sisters, you need to understand, this was a prayer that God put in Elisha's heart. This prayer did not come from Elijah's heart. This prayer come from God's heart. God put that prayer in his heart because he wanted Elisha to have this double portion. Because he knew when Elisha went right back across the Jordan, he was going to need it. He was going to confront bitter waters in Jericho that needed to be healed. He was going to confront the rebellious nature of the devil in Bethel, in the house of God itself. He was going to need this double portion. It was in the Lord's heart to give it to him. But see, this is why Elijah had this ministry of life. See, when Elisha now leaves the Jordan, he brings life everywhere he goes. He heals the waters at Jericho. He raises a little widow woman's son from the dead. He heals a poison pot of soup with a handful of meal. He heals the waters at Jericho. Everywhere this man goes produces life. You want to know why? Because he made the trip across the Jordan. From the very beginning, it's just like Jesus. Before he went out in his ministry, he had to go in the wilderness for 40 days. The Lord put Elisha to the test. And Elisha passed the test. Elisha showed in his heart, more than anything else, God, I want your will for my life. More than anything else that comes out of this self-life. God, your grace is sufficient for me. And I take hold of your path. I leave this path of self-life. And I embrace the path that you put before me. And when God saw that, he anointed this man. And now there's such an abundance of life in this man's ministry. And I'm telling you, when you walk across that Jordan floor, when you make God and His will truly sit upon the throne of your heart, we will be vehicles of life too. We won't just be building something that's impressive in the eyes of men. We will be imparting life. Life. This is why Elisha had this powerful ministry of life. Because he was willing to follow Christ all the way to the cross. He's willing to follow Christ to that place where you die to self, that Christ may live in you. And because he embraced the cross, God gave him the ministry of life. And I'm reminded of what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, death worketh in me, but life in you. In other words, because I pick up my cross and I die daily, you are reaping the benefit of that life. Amen. Amen. I just need to say this. I feel it in my heart. Someone here, you better think twice before you turn and leave that perfect will of God to go back after old dreams, old desires. The Lord may give them to you. There's going to come a day, a turn in the road, when you look back and say, I left it all. The life that God had for me, the impact upon people's hearts, the eternal impact I could have made for heaven, for my own desires. I'm saying it in love, but I feel like I'm talking to somebody. You better think twice. Because there's nothing more powerful or satisfying or fulfilling than the will of God. And one more time, you need to put that flesh on the altar and say, all or nothing for God. I want to end with this. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. Now this is, they're coming to the Jordan the first time. They haven't crossed yet. Verse 8 says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. so that they went over on dry ground. So in other words, before Elijah and Elisha could pass through the Jordan waters, Elijah had to smote it with his mantle to part it. And the Lord is speaking to us something very plainly here. He's saying this life of self-denial, this life of forsaking your path and walking my path, it can't be done in the strength of the flesh. The crucifying of the flesh can't be done in the strength of the flesh. Embracing my will for your life cannot be done in the strength of the flesh. It takes a greater power than that. But this is what the Lord is saying. But if in your heart you are willing to go, if in your heart you're willing to cross the Jordan for, if in your heart you're willing to make an altar and say, God, all or nothing. If in your heart you're willing to say, God, I set everything else aside and I put your will upon the throne of my heart. God says, I will give you the power and the strength to walk that path. It's not done in the strength of the flesh. What the Lord is saying is this. If you will be willing to follow me across the Jordan, I will give you the grace and the strength to pass through it. My grace will carry you. And my grace will perform the good work in your heart. If you be willing to follow me across the Jordan, through every trial and tribulation, I will be with you to strengthen you and encourage you and comfort you and assure you of the good work that I'm doing in your heart. You do not have to be afraid of the Jordan. You do not have to be afraid of the trials and the refining fires I will put you through, because I will be with you through it all. And I will keep you, and you will find that even in the fires, there is so much joy because of the richness of my presence that is in your life. Through all your trials, there will be great joy, because I will cause you to see that what is taking place in your heart through the trials, and that is the marvelous nature of my Son Jesus being formed in you. God's not asking us to embrace this life of self-denial in our own strength. He's simply saying, if you're willing, if you really love me with all your heart and you're willing to lay self-life on the altar and take my perfect will and put it on the throne of your heart, I will give you strength to live the crucified life. I will give you the strength to live this life of self-denial. And ultimately, it's the joy of the Lord that's going to be your strength. Brothers and sisters, I believe it with all my heart. People who are sold out to Jesus are the most joyful people on the face of the earth. People that are truly embracing His will with all their heart are the most joyful, fulfilled, content people upon the face of the earth, because that is where the life of God is at. That's where the life of God is at. And that's what I want. And I know that's what many of you want. And that's what I desire for this church. That in these last days, we will live for the honor and the glory of God. Do you understand the privilege that God has given us that we should be His last day testimony? You understand the confidence that God has put upon us in these times that we're living in? That no matter how dark and how much the world is shaking, we are going to shine the light of the glory of God. Do you understand the confidence God has put in us? And we need to lay a hold of Him and say, God, by your grace, I'm going to be that bright and shining light. I am going to live for God, all or nothing. Amen. Here's my altar call. I'm going to end my altar call with a scripture. Go with me to Psalm 143. This is my altar call this morning. I really feel like the Lord wants to pour His grace out upon our hearts this morning. I really feel like His very gentle His tenderness wants to encourage us this morning, because it's not always an easy walk embracing His perfect will. But look with me at Psalm 143, verse 10. David says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And it's the first part of verse 10 I really love here. It says, teach me to do thy will. You know, there's many things in the will of God the Lord has to teach us, because it's just not in this human nature to do it. And we started off this morning talking about diligence and the importance of being a person of diligence in the will of God. And in the times that we're living in, we need to understand it's important to be diligent. It is important to be diligent in the times that we're living in. But my altar call is simply this: Lord, where you have me now, teach me to be diligent. Teach me to take hold of the grace of God in my life and live a life of discipline. You cannot have diligence without discipline. You're only as diligent as you are disciplined. You won't be a man of prayer without a disciplined prayer life, because this old flesh don't like to pray sometimes. You will not have a devotional life if you are not disciplined. Because every day when we wake up in the morning at 5, 5:30 in the morning, sometimes the flesh doesn't want to get out of bed. It takes discipline. But I don't feel to lay a heaviness on you and say, if you haven't had devotions and you're not praying and all, you need to repent. There is a place for that. There is a place for that. But this morning, the prayer God has put upon my heart is this: teach me. The place that you have me, teach me. Students, teach me, Lord, to be diligent in my prayer life. Teach me to be diligent in my studies so my teachers don't have to keep coming to me asking me for my homework. Teach me. Teach me to be a person of prayer. Teach me how to use my time wisely. Teach me. Maybe there's someone here and you're not a student and you're in a workplace and you're shining a light for God on the workplace. God, teach me to be diligent on my job, to be faithful to my boss. Teach me to have a prayer life. I work hard. I work 10 hours a day, but I still know I need to have a prayer life. Teach me how to have a prayer life, a deeper one than I have. Teach me. That's what I feel the Lord is saying. I want to teach you. I was going through the Psalms this morning, and I come to appreciate something about David. Many, many, many times in the Psalms, David asked the Lord to teach him. And it made me realize something. There's just things God has to teach us. They don't just come naturally. But if our heart is open, God will teach us. He'll teach us how to be diligent. And maybe there's someone here this morning, and you just need to come to the altar and one more time reconsecrate your heart to the Lord. Lord, again, I heard the message, and I want all or nothing. One more time, Lord, I'm looking to your grace because I don't want to walk in self-life. I truly want your perfect will for my heart. And whatever it is, God, one more time, I want to give myself to it. Stand with me this morning.